importance on the Christian calendar. Easter is probably it's the most important one. Because I understand the birth and everything, obviously, but the resurrection, the cross is what brought in the new covenant. It's what changed everything. It's what brought in everything new and made us a different race of people, which is really awesome. Yeah, and as we talked about, since January 1st, it's finished. God made a short work on this planet, and now it's finished. Before we talk a little bit about today's teaching, let's do a time where we do a time of testimonies, where we just say what God has done, what work God has done in our lives this past year. I know that's always a risky thing, and we probably would not do that at 10 o'clock. But this is a more intimate setting right now. What has God done that is really cool and awesome in your life this year? What has He taught you? What has He helped you through? Let's go from there. See, if I'm going to get up at 7 o'clock, if I'm going to get up at 6, 5:30, and I have to think, I'm going to make you think. Well, then you are bright and bushy tail. What do you have to say, Jeff?
Guiding me and giving me the words, I don't think I could have helped at all because I asked a few good pointed questions for her. And I hope that will help me. But mainly my testimony is I thank God for being in my life and for giving me the friends and the church that I go to.
Awesome. Don't think I've ever done this many consecutive funerals. February, March, and April. Go ahead.
Death is not scary to me. And when I saw what happened to Mom that day, that first day in the hospital, I knew that was my deepest desire, was for her to go home and be with the Lord. I knew she was never going to come back as my mother from what she went through. And when she came out of the coma, she wasn't the same woman. And I saw pain in her face. I saw tears in her eyes. And I thank God that He gave me the strength to say to her, "Mom, we love you enough to let you go and be with the Lord. We're not going to keep you trapped in this body here on this earth. And she smiled. And she closed her eyes with a peaceful look, though she had to struggle through another week on this earth. It brought me such peace to know that she was going to go where she wanted to be finally. What God has done for me is give me peace, but He's also given me such strength. I couldn't believe easy it was every day to go and kneel down and pray, "Lord, today would be a good day. Do you want to take her home? We're ready. She's ready." And the first thing out of my mouth when I got the call was, "Thank you, God. You answered our prayer. Thank you." I don't know that I would have ever been able to do that when I was younger or immature with my faith. But that proved to me that He's working in me. He's growing me. And I haven't had one moment of doubt that we did the right thing for Mom. And that we did not pray selfishly. We did not pray unmercifully. Chris and I are healed in our hearts knowing that we gave her over to God. And we did not let the doctor control and prolong the inevitable. We stood faithfully. He's awesome.
Excellent. Yeah, they had to make some tough decisions. Especially when Marilyn started to come to a little bit. It was very questions going through your mind. Did I do the right thing? Any others? This has been a interesting year for me. It's probably one of the most growing theological times that I've been through. plunging into the finished work of Christ. I'm to the point now where I say it is finished or it's not finished. And you can't stand in both worlds. Either it's completely finished in Jesus Christ, or what is it that we really believe? A lot of my, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of my traditional ways I viewed things have probably changed a little bit. Nothing huge and drastic. But things like the stuff that the book of Hebrews teaches about sin being totally taken away, past, present, and future. And it's still an ongoing process, but it's different. I've watched the growth in my wife. That's hard to not acknowledge. And it's sometimes it feels very stormy, but other times it's like, wow, this can't be this true. I mean, this is so good, but it is true. I have to keep saying that to myself. So we may stop preaching about the finished work as a series, but I won't stop studying it. So anyway, any others? We don't usually do things like this because we're a very reserved. Yeah, instead of being drugged down, constantly being reminded of your sins, you can actually do what God put you here to do, to love others. Instead of being very self-oriented.
Accepting His forgiveness and giving His forgiveness to others is so freeing.
Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful things that can happen in your life.
Yep. Any others? Becky. Yeah. And a new haircut? It is. It's different, isn't it? Yeah. Any others? You know, I love this because I think it's an American thing. We don't like to be put on the spot, do we? But God has done a lot of stuff for us this year. I mean, He really has. If we were just to sit and think about it, I know this isn't a Thanksgiving message, but we have much to be thankful for. I mean, either this new covenant thing is true or we're playing games. Either you believe the new covenant is true or just stop going. Because you're just playing a game. I mean, at least that's what I've come down to. I mean, there are some hard things that I have seen in scriptures where I'm thinking, you know, I wasn't taught this. Is it the fact that we just ignore it? Is it the fact that we can't get it? Is it the fact that we overlook it? I don't know. You know, when I read stuff in Hebrews where it talks about no more consciousness of sins, once for all, I mean, that is really powerful. Did we take the book of Hebrews and did we just stick it underneath a pew somewhere and said all these books we're going to read, but not this one because it's too scary, because it has some scary passages in it? I think Satan uses that all the time to keep us away from true freedom in Jesus Christ. You know, the importance of the resurrection. You know, our sins were dealt with on the cross. Resurrection proved that we have life. You know, Jesus could have died for all of our sins but not rose from the dead, and still that wouldn't have been the right sacrifice because God wouldn't have accepted it, because God's the one that put down the curse that said, death, dust you were and dust you will return. And nobody comes back from the dead. Well, I want us to look at just a couple things here. Now, this is not the actual sermon that I'm going to do entirety. This is going to be an abbreviated form. We can get this little thing rolling here. Got to kickstart it. No. It's warmed up. It's lit. There. Golly. Why? Okay, we're going to keep going. Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is good. Okay. You guys are going to get the first part of this today. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The importance of the resurrection. In fact, this whole topic today, this whole teaching today is going to come from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is really a big, big chapter where it's talking about the resurrection. It's talking about the gospel. It's talking about some error. And it really addresses a lot. It addresses the future kingdom. It addresses what's going to happen when Christ, the last enemy, is destroyed, which is death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 starts off, and I'm just going to read these to you guys. Let's go to it. And it says, very simply, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Peter, and then by the 12, and then he was seen by 500, of whom are still alive at the time this was written. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as one born out of due time." Let me go down to verse 11. "Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed." When we're looking at this verse, these verses here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 starts the gospel. So right away, Paul is going to say, what he's going to say next is he's going to say what? Here is the gospel. This is what you need to believe. This is how you are saved. This is what you stand in. This is the gospel. We have a couple things here. I preached, you received, you stand, you are saved. Verse 1, verse 2. These are all the verbs or the action of what they did. Paul preached it to them, and then they received it. Now, received means they received it. They believed it. They trusted in it. Unlike those in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says the gospel was preached to them as well as to us, from Acts chapter 2, but they did not take it by faith, and so it didn't profit them. See, in Jerusalem, when Peter did his sermon in Acts chapter 2, there were all kinds of people that were there. We have a whole list of all the people that were there in Acts chapter 2. Some mixed it with faith and entered into the kingdom. Others heard it, but refused it. And so it did not profit them. So you have a group of people. Some are mixing it with faith, others aren't. And some get it, and some don't. Here, they received it. The letter that Paul is writing to the Corinthians, they received it. And then notice the other two words, stand and saved. See, when you receive something, when you believe it, then you stand in it. It's what you are depending on. That's what it means to receive. When you stand, when you make a stand, it's like people that rally for all different types of causes. They stand holding signs. They're making a public stand. They're making a stand that says, "I'm for this." When it says stand here, it literally just means I stand in this truth. This is my life. This is what I'm depending on. This is, there's nothing else. If God were to take Jesus away from me right now, I would have no other hope. There would be no hope. Because Jesus is the only hope. There are no other ways to God. Because they received it, because they stood in it, that's why they were saved. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that Jesus was the Christ. There are a lot of people that believe that he died for sins. There's a lot of people that believe that. You know, probably 80% of the American people, as Barna research said, believes they're Christians because they believe that, yeah, there was a Jesus. Yeah, he was a Savior, okay. But they're not standing in it. He's not their Savior. He hasn't taken away their sins. They have not come to the cross and called upon the name of the Lord. They just have some sort of superficial belief. Maybe Jesus was a good man. Maybe he was a good leader, teacher. You know, I mean, he wasn't the bad guy, obviously. But they've never received it. And they don't stand. See, Paul also talks about in this chapter, he talks about this, and we're going to, let's read this for a second, and it goes down a couple of verses. Verse 20. Oh, I'm sorry, let's verse 12. It says, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead don't rise. For if the dead do rise, then Christ is not risen. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have died in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Not sure why it says that. I always thought it was pitiful. But do you see that? Hoping in Christ. Guys, if Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith that you stand in, Christians stand in that. They stand it. They've received it. They are putting all their eggs in that basket. They're not putting their eggs in a basket here and a basket here. They're not saying, okay, you know, I'm gonna just ensure that I got all my bases covered. So I'm gonna believe in Muhammad. I'm gonna believe in the Jewish system. I'm gonna believe in Krishna. I'm gonna believe in Buddha. I'm gonna believe in Jesus because they're all good teachers, and I want to make sure that I got the right one, and so I'm just going to believe in all of them, so I have the right one. So when that day comes, I can say, well, yes, I believed in Muhammad too, you know, so I'm not left out. No, folks, that's not what we believe. There is one way. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. We stand on that. When people come to us and they say, well, there are many ways to God, we're instantly, that instantly should put like a nail, like nail chalkboard and your fingernails. Not truth. The not truth radar is up, and it's alarming. Because you're standing in the one way. Now, of course, we could say, well, don't people from Islam do the same thing? Well, what about the Mormons? Don't they do that? I mean, what about these other people? Don't they do the same thing? Okay. Who has the truth, though? There's only one right way. I'm going to put my eggs in the basket of the one Lord that rose from the dead. We have the truth. And that's what we stand in, and that's how we are saved. Because we come to God literally knowing that we're sinners and there is nothing else to do. There's nothing we can do except call upon the name of the Lord. That's faith. Folks, you know, in John chapter 3, there was there's a story in the Old Testament. The people had sinned, and God had sent fiery serpents. That's what they were called, fiery. Now, whether they were actually on fire or whether that's what it felt like when they bit you, I don't know. But he sent them among the people, and people were dropping dead all over the place. And the people said, "We have sinned. Please help us." And God told Moses, he said, put a bronze serpent on a stick and hold it up. It's the same symbol that we see with the medical stuff today. But I want you to hold that up, and anybody who has been bit, if they simply look at it, they will live. The act of faith, folks, very simply was obeying what God said was the truth. They were bit. They were going to die. Your only hope was looking at the serpent. Now, in John chapter 3, it says this, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Folks, the same way that they looked at that serpent to live, they were depending upon that act of faith that God said was the truth. And they were betting their lives on it. That's faith. You're betting your life, literally. You're betting your entire eternity on Jesus Christ. If he is not who he said he is, then your faith needs to be so strong that you would be in hell. That's what it means to be a believer. That's what Paul was talking about here when it says, if Christ has not risen from the dead, then your faith is in vain and you will perish. See, somebody who's not standing, somebody who's not receiving, he wouldn't say that about them because they're really not standing, nor are they receiving. We're putting all of our bets, we're putting all of our trust, we're putting all of our reliance on the fact that Jesus died for our sins and rose again for our justification. There's no other way for us. That's what it means to believe. It's a transfer of trust. Do you trust in you or do you trust in Jesus? And Christians, if you are truly trusting in Christ, and if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you would be in hell. That's how strong your trust is. I know that's kind of a weird back doorway of looking at it, but it's that if you look at it enough, you begin to see that. By which you are saved. Look at this. Now here is an interesting little part in this, and this is conditional. This is not since, it's if. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You know, we always get kind of wiggy when we see conditional statements because we go, well, wait a minute, there's a, well, that's very explainable what you see there. If you hold fast that word which I preach to you, what was the word? The gospel. Unless you believed in vain, unless you believed something else, because that would be a vain belief. Unless you believe what I just preached just right 2 seconds ago, that Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead, and that you have received that, and that you're trusting in that, and that's your reliance factor, then you've believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. First of all, Paul always, first of all, when he came into an area, first of all, preached what? The gospel, Christ crucified. In fact, in the same book, in the early chapters, Paul says this, I came knowing nothing except Jesus and him crucified. I did not come like these Greek philosophers, these Socrates-type individuals. I did not come with wise and fancy speech. I came with much fear and trembling, and I came only knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel. And it says here, I delivered to you, first of all, now notice Paul here too. Paul did what? He received it. He received it. Christ died for sins. No. Christ died for our sins. See, people can believe that Jesus died for sins, but they haven't believed that Jesus died for their sins. When you cry out, what must I do? I'm lost. If I were to die tonight, I would be in hell without Jesus Christ. Christians, that's how we come to faith. Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he did what? Rose. Guys, there is nobody else that's done this. When the world is pounding on you and they're saying, you know, I read this stupid article this week about the Shroud of Turin. I'm always reading news. I think it's good to keep up on what's going on. The Shroud of Turin, for those who don't know it, is this artifact that supposedly has the image of Jesus. Well, it's really freaky, and if Jesus were to look like something, that's probably what he would look like, because the guy does not look that attractive. And as Isaiah, he doesn't look like those pictures that we just saw earlier in the song. So whatever it is, but the guy that was interviewing it, he was either from Princeton or he was some high up educational individual. And the question was put to him, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And he said, well, in a sense, there was a spiritual resurrection. There was a spiritual resurrection in his people. I mean, this image gave hope that Jesus' image still lives on, even though he's still in the grave. Do you see all the fluff? All the fluff and all the good word about Jesus, but that individual has not received the truth. He doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead after he was buried. See, the reason why Paul puts that in there is that's important. And that he was buried. Not that he went to sleep. Not that he had a Kodak moment where he flashed on a shroud and then gave hope to everybody even though he was still dead. No, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared. See, that's what we believe. That's what we're hedging our bets on, folks. That's what we're trusting. That's why Paul can say, if Christ is preached that he's been risen from the dead, and some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead, that means Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, because Jesus is the first fruits. He's the beginning. And if he didn't do it, folks, then your faith is in vain. And I used to always look at this passage and I would be like, why? I mean, okay. 12 through 19, all these Christians are doing good things. You know, they love God's people. Okay, let's say Jesus didn't rise from the dead. We've got about 4 minutes to work through this. Let's say Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I know, we can't even go there. Right, I understand that. But let's say he didn't. Okay, let's say he didn't. Okay, Christian, you're doing a lot of good things. I mean, you're following Jesus' stuff. I mean, he was a Jew. I mean, you're going to worship church on and once a week. You're doing good deeds. You're living a love life. You're loving people. You're sacrificing. You're suffering. You're doing all this stuff that any religious guru would do. So, why did Paul say that you would still perish? Don't you have just as much chance as anybody to get to heaven? Why perishing if you trust in the resurrection? And it's not true. And I used to think about that, and I would say, wow, I think I understand this now. That's why it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks, these people, Christians, are doing all the good works that Jews are doing. No, there's no difference. We're doing good works. You know what the difference is? Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and it's once for all sacrifice. Where are you putting your reliance? Which sacrifice are you putting your reliance in? See, that's it. Because the reason why Christians would die, the reason why Christians would perish, is because we are totally relying that Jesus Christ's sacrifice is the sacrifice that we need in order to be in heaven. And we have said no to the other sacrifices. We've walked away from the old. And you bet you're in trouble. You are big time in trouble because you are trusting in the wrong sacrifice. Folks would say the same thing today. Jews are in trouble. Why? They're trusting in the wrong sacrifice. Jews that don't believe, even though they're God's chosen people. We say all the time, to people that say, well, I think I'm as good as most people. I think I could probably, you know, I'm not Charles Manson. I'm not waiting to be on parole. You know, I got as good a shot as... We would say to that person, you're not saved. Because they're trusting in themselves instead of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's why you would be condemned if Christ didn't rise from the dead. Because you've put all your eggs in one basket. Now, at the 10 o'clock, we're going to talk about different ways you believe in vain. And obviously, the big belief in Corinth was that there is no resurrection from the dead, which Christian, if you're truly a Christian, there is really no Christian that can believe that there is no resurrection from the dead. Because it's so vitally connected, folks. It's so vitally connected to our belief. And that is the encouragement for you guys today. The resurrection many times gets slighted because so much emphasis is put on what we do for God that we have forgotten what He has done for us. There's so much emphasis today on doing, 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 prove that you're a believer, do, you know, make sure, confess. And like Helen was talking about, pretty soon all you're concerned about is, are you doing it enough and have you confessed enough? And you've totally, your eyes are totally off the resurrection and what Christ has done. And that is sad. Okay, we've gone about as far as we can go this time of the morning. I remember my profs, the guy that would take the 8 o'clock class was a gutsy individual indeed because he had to keep everybody awake. It was as bad as the prof that was at 1 o'clock because that was after lunch. Well, let's go ahead and stand. Father, we have trusted in the resurrection so much that if Jesus would not rise from the dead, if He did not rise from the dead, then we are going to hell. That's what faith is. Putting all your eggs in one basket and trusting in the one that was lifted up As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes, looks to Jesus, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, I thank you for this. And we are relying on this and trusting this great truth by faith. And I thank you. And I praise you, Jesus Christ, in your name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great rest of today. We'll be back.